one of the four verses that are considered the essential or essence of Bhagavad Gita, the first of them. Who knows what that is? What are the essential four verses of Bhagavad Gita?
10, 8,
chapter 10, text 8, and the following three verses. So, Chandas, chapter 10, text 8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo.
Atah sarvam pravartate.
Atah sarvam pravartate.
Iti matva bhajante maam.
Iti matva bhajante maam.
Buddha bhava samamhita.
Buddha bhava samamhita.
Alright, let's get serious. Translation. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Purport. A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya and who knows how to apply these teachings can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds, and because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva and all other demigods. In the Atharva Veda, Gopala Tapani Upanishad 1.24, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidat Ati purvam yo vai vedam sardapayati svakrishnaha. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again, the Narayana Upanishad says, Ata purusho havai Narayano kamayata kaja srijayeti. Then the Supreme Personality, Narayana, desired to create living entities. Upanishad continues, Narayanad Brahma Jayate, Narayanad Prajapati Prajayate, Narayanad Indra Jayate, Narayanad Ashto Basavo Jayante, Narayanad Ekadasha Rudra Jayante, Narayanad Dvadasha Dityaha. From Narayana, Brahma is born, and from Narayana, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayana, Indra is born. From Narayana, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayana, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayana, the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. It is said in the same Vedas, Brahmanyo Devaki Putra. The son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayana Upanishad 4. Then it is said, Eko vai Narayana asin na brahma na ishano na po na agni samo ne me diava prithivi na nakshatrani na suryaha. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality, Narayana. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no fire, no moon, no stars in the sky, no sun. Maha Upanishad 1. In the Maha Upanishad, it is also said that Lord Shiva was born from the forehead of the Supreme Lord. Thus the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. In the Moksha Dharma, Krishna also says, Prajapatin cha rudram chapyaham eva srijami vai tohi mangna vijanito mama maya vimohito. The patriarch Shiva and others are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me because they are deluded by my illusory energy. In the Varaha Purana it is also said, Narayana paro devas tasmaj jatas chatur mukhaha tasmad rudro bhavad deva sacha sarva yatangataha. Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says, because everything is born of me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me, no one is above me. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way from a bona fide spiritual master, with references from Vedic literature, engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness and becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. Only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. He should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations on Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Vimilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vande Guru Nisha Bhaktam Zisham Isha Avatara Kanta Prakasham Tatat Chakti Krishna Taitanya Sangirtam. Vande Shri Krishna Taitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godo Deya Pushpavanto Chitro Shandatamanto Jayatam Surito Pangorma Mamanda Mate Gati Matsarvasvapadam Bhujo Radha Madana Mohano Divya Dvrinda Aranya Kalpadru Madhasri Madhradha Gada Simhasanas Tho Shri Madhradha Shiva Govinda Deva Prashthali Visevi Manasmana Shri Madhrasar Saram Bhivam Shri Vata Tatastitaha Karshan Venur Swanayar Gopir Gopinatha Surestunaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
In this purport, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has offered some of the many evidences from the Vedas, particularly from the Upanishads and also from Mahabharata and from the Varaha Purana, showing how Krishna is the origin of everything and thus he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is a very important point. What is the it's essential point? What is the origin of everything? If we can understand what is the origin of everything is, then we can understand the purpose of everything. If we can understand the purpose of everything, then our life is perfect and successful. So Srila Prabhupada establishes this point very strongly herein and throughout his books and commentaries. Now, in the verse itself, which Srila Prabhupada in his commentary just touches upon herein, although he has commented upon it elsewhere in his lectures, Lord Krishna not only establishes himself as supreme, or states himself to be supreme, being the source of everything, but he also states that persons who understand this, persons who accept this, they worship him, such intelligent persons. It's stated, persons who understand and accept this, they're intelligent. They worship him, bhava samanvitaha, which Srila Prabhupada has translated. Their worship is with all their hearts, with bhava. This is a well-known word for people who know anything about Sanskrit or Indian languages. Bhava has various meanings. The principal meaning is feelings or emotions. And particularly in Vaishnava understanding, bhava means ecstatic feelings for Krishna. Now, that Krishna is the supreme, that is reason to worship him, is it not? The small or the inferior
defer to the superior. That is the natural law that we see. There are attempts, since the 18th century in Europe, specifically with the French Revolution, there have been attempts to establish the equality of mankind. But it's only an attempt, because no two people are equal in all respects, or even in any respect. Maybe in their height or their weight. That's all. Weight is changing also at every moment. But in ability, at least we find that everyone is different. You'll never find two people, even identical twins, who are identical in all respects in terms of their abilities. One person might be more intelligent in terms of their intelligence tests. But someone who is supposed to be very intelligent, they might not be very intelligent at how to cook idlis. It might be that this simple, uneducated housewife is more intelligent than a big scientist in cooking idlis. Of course, big scientists, they don't usually cook idlis. They're too busy cooking up chemicals or other things. But they might be, what we say is intelligence, is not, it might not necessarily be all-round intelligence. It also requires some intelligence to cook idlis, doesn't it? To cook good chapatis. Generally, South Indian people are not that expert. So, to cook chapatis also requires some ability. It requires some practice. And it may be that someone who's not a brilliant mathematician, if you say calculus to them, they look at you blank. They have no idea. But they know how to cook chapatis. So it's a different kind of intelligence. Anyway, the point is that everyone has different abilities and no two people are equal in all respects. If you want to eat a meal, it's not very practical to be brilliant in calculus but useless in cooking. It's more if you have a bunch of chapati flour and vegetables and you don't know how to cook, then it won't help you to be a brilliant engineer. So there are different abilities and no two people are equal in any way. But in all respects, Krishna is superior to everyone. You won't find anyone who's superior to anyone else in all respects. Just like I was saying, a great mathematician may be inferior to an uneducated housewife in the matter of cooking chapatis. So you could say that the housewife is superior to him, at least in chapati cooking. She's probably superior to him, if he's a male, in wearing a sari also. Although, maybe not nowadays. I was told somewhere, where was that? Somewhere in the world. Oh yeah, in Boise, Idaho, in the United States of America, a devotee who's from somewhere in North India, Hindi speaking, told me that one young lady had come there to Boise from Bareilly in UP, which is a provincial town. It's not a fashion center like Delhi. And she had never had anything religious in her life, even though coming from a provincial town. But when she came to Boise, Idaho, which is a provincial town in America, she met the devotees and took up Krishna consciousness and actually got married right there in Boise, Idaho to a devotee. And at her wedding, she had to be shown how to put on a sari because she never worn one in her life before. So, anyway, that's just an aside. The point is that in this world, everyone is superior to someone else, to someone else in some respect or other. We won't find anyone who is a complete all-rounder. Someone knows something. If you find two people, one person may be superior to the other. It may seem in all ways, but in some ways, the person who is less superior might be actually more. It might be better. Just like someone who's very intelligent and rich and powerful, they might, if they're in some difficulty, they might not be able to tolerate it as well as someone else who's used to difficulties. Rich people, they might, just like if a rich person loses all their money, they think, oh, all the rest of their life, they're thinking, oh, how terrible. Before I had so much money and now it's so bad. But the person who is born into that situation, they just think it's normal. So they don't suffer as much. Anyway, Krishna is supreme in all respects. Krishna is the most intelligent, the most capable in doing everything. He's the source of everything. Paurusham Rishu. He is the ability in man, he declares in Bhagavad Gita. So he is the source of everything, and those who are intelligent, they therefore worship him. That's an intelligent thing to do, to defer to the superior. We may say that everyone is equal, but try going into your office on Monday morning, and if your boss gets on your case, getting on his case back, or saying that, look boss, I'm fed up of you telling me what to do, now you do what I say. And he'll say, well, I'm only going to tell you one more thing, then I won't tell you anything else, you're fired, get out of the door. It doesn't work practically. Practically in the world we have to defer to a superior, as I say, it's the natural order. The animals in the jungle, they respect the lion. If the lion comes out, everyone's afraid, because the lion is the king of the jungle. Even at the garbage heaps which pile up on the side of the road in India, there's a pecking order. Little sparrows, they come, if someone comes and throws out their garbage, then the sparrows may come and look to see what's there. But then the crows will come and chase the sparrows away. And then a cat will come and then chase the crows away. Then a dog will come and chase the cat away. Then a cow will come and chase the dog away. And then what are called the scavengers, or the human beings who come and look for something that if they collect enough of it, they might be able to sell it for 1 or 2 rupees, they come and chase the cow away. So everyone defers to someone who is more powerful, who is more superior. Who is superior. So those who are intelligent, they try to find out who is superior in all respects, and that is Krishna. And those who understand that Krishna is supreme, they worship him. Now, why does the sparrow get out of the way when the crow comes? It's afraid, if I don't, then the crow will hurt me, because the crow is capable to hurt me, isn't it? And even though the cow is bigger than the human being has a stick in his hand, and the cow is afraid of that. So out of fear, we defer to a superior. So that is a beginning in God consciousness also. That is inculcated in the Abrahamic religions. That means Christianity, Judaism, Islam, especially, that's emphasized. fear God. Otherwise you will burn in hell forever. So that sounds like a good reason to fear someone, doesn't it? If you don't do what he says, you'll burn in hell forever. I will smite them ad infinitum. That was a song I learned in school. God speaking. I will smite them ad infinitum. That means I'll punish them eternally, unlimitedly. So that's a beginning in God consciousness. That do what God says, otherwise you'll suffer severely because he's supreme. And he can punish you supremely. You can really suffer in the worst possible way at the hands of God. But that doesn't inspire love of him. They may say, love God, otherwise you'll roast in hell forever. So, okay, I love you. I love you. Please believe me, I love you. But that love and fear don't sit together very well. Respect, someone may respect another out of fear. But love, real love begins where there's no fear. Just like the president of the country. Others may fear him, but his mother doesn't fear him, even though in all respects the president may be superior to his mother. He's bigger and stronger, he's more powerful and famous, but the mother, when she sees him, she doesn't think, oh, the president of the country, she thinks, that's my little boy. When are you ever going to learn to brush your hair properly, she'll tell him. Oh, sorry. I remember seeing once in Russia, in one place, we were out chanting the names of Krishna in a public place. And there was this huge guy, young man, and I think it was a gypsy or something like that. Not ethnically Russian. So this huge guy and there was this little woman who was half his height, and she was rah, 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 and she was getting on his case like anything, and he was like this. Looked like, it must have been his mother, I guess. So he was subordinate to her, not out of, well, some fear might have been there, but not exactly the fear that, well, she'll slap me. She might slap him, but she can do so only because there's a relationship of love. Because if a man half the height of him came and slapped him, he would, with a little finger, he'd flip him over on his back. Huge, strong guy. So where there is love, there is no fear. Now here in this verse, it's stated that those who are intelligent worship Krishna with love. He said with bhava. But really this understanding of the greatness of Krishna is only a beginning, because bhava, that comes not from simply understanding that Krishna is supreme and supremely powerful, but there's more understanding. If Krishna is the source of everything, that means he must be the supreme person. There's not creation ex nihilo. Everything comes from nothing. Some people posit that. Everything comes from nothing. Everything that exists comes from nothing. This is science, so we're told. In the beginning there was nothing. And then there was a huge, nothing exploded, And then there was everything. This is called science. However, we accept the science of Bhagavad Gita, in which in the beginning there was Krishna. And actually there is no beginning of Krishna. Adadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of everything. He has no beginning. And people sometimes say that, well, if God is the cause of everything, God created everything, who created God? And they think, now I've got you stumped. But it's a stupid question. Because God means who has no origin and no creator. So it's a silly question. They think it's a very intelligent question, but it's a very silly question, actually. Because God means the ultimate source, that which has no other source. So Krishna is the supreme person. He is the source of everything. Everything has its origin in Him. So the supreme, from whom so many persons come, is not a non-person, an imperson. That's a logical deduction. How can all that exists with its variegatedness come from non-variety? There should be variety in the Supreme also. So Krishna is the Supreme Person to be worshipped, but then if He's the Supreme Person, is He just being supreme? He's so busy being supreme. Must be so busy. The manager of a company is a busy person. Let's see, some manager has his cell phone going off. Switch off, please, your cell phone. You can go back to managing your multinational corporation. Managers of multinational corporations don't come to hear about Krishna. Not much. They're too big. They're in the illusion of thinking themselves very big. All the big people in the world, George Bush Jr., big for another few days. Then he'll become ex-big. Then after some time he'll become the late George Bush, not very much regretted, probably, by many. Then he'll become, who knows, there are 84 lakh species of life. So, everyone can guess which one he'll go into. Great man, greatest man of the 20th century, according to Time magazine readers, was, okay, Konganega Kropati. You don't know. All right, it was Albert Einstein. So, Albert Einstein was a great person, no doubt. But he is no more with us. Whoever is great, their greatness is limited by time, at least by time, and intelligence also. Albert Einstein was very intelligent, no doubt, but not unlimitedly intelligent. And it seems he wasn't very good at human relationships also. At least he didn't get on very well with his wife, for those of you who are interested. So, greatness. Who is great? Krishna is great. Who else is great? Well, no one really. How great can you be? Among the ants, they think that the Who's the greatest ant? The king ant? No, there's no king, it's queen. The queen ant is the top ant. And as far as the ants are concerned, the queen ant is the all in all. So on this, in this human society, we think that some great human being is very important. Who's the Prime Minister of Singapore? Is it Prime Minister or President or what? I can't remember. It's over 20 years since I was here. What is it? Prime Minister, President, or who's the big shot? Prime Minister. And he's the son of the previous Prime Minister, is it? And so it's like us. Oops, we don't talk politics here. It's a little dangerous in Singapore. But anyway, what's his name? Lee something. Well, that's not difficult to remember. Probably half the people in Singapore, Lee something or other. So in Singapore, I thought you'd all know it. You're not very good Singaporeans if you don't know the name of the Prime Minister. So in Singapore, he's considered very important. And in Singapore, people think that Singapore is very important. And it is quite important considering the size of the place. But all in all, it's just a tiny little blip on a map. And you know what? The whole Earth planet is just a tiny little spot in the universe. And what's more, this universe is only a tiny little spot, like a mustard seed. The example is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a mustard seed. If you have a bag of mustard seeds, how many, if you have a, okay, here's another quiz. If you have a sack, say it weighs 20 kilos of mustard seeds, approximately how many mustard seeds would be in there? Any idea? Might be a few million even. I don't know. I don't know the answer either. You can go and calculate if you like. It's kind of a useless calculation. But definitely must be well over a lakh. Lakhs must be quite a few lakhs of mustard seeds. So like that, this whole universe is, among all the universes, it's like a mustard seed in a sack of mustard seeds. And then you'll see when the harvesting of mustard seeds is there, you'll see huge piles. Have you seen? Huge piles of mustard seeds. So like that. So how important is, who's important in the world today? Well, George Bush, I already said, and then there's Putin in Russia, and who else? Anyone? Where are you from? Sonia Gandhi. From Australia. So who's the Prime Minister over there? Sorry for being so poor in current affairs.
I didn't come here to listen to politics, but Kevin Rudd.
Kevin Rudd, okay.
I think he thinks he's very important.
Okay, sorry about talking politics. I'm just trying to make an analogy here. So Kevin Rudd is very important in Australia, at least some people think it is important. Although most people are more interested in sport, I think, in Australia than in politics. That's the national stereotype. It's said like that. They're interested, and so who's important? This is the point I'm making here, trying to make. Who's important? We're a tiny, one can be the Prime Minister of a country for some time, but that time is very short in eternity. And the place is very important. Even the Prime Minister doesn't have that. You might think that he's very important, he's controlling, but how much do they control anyway? if there's a big storm, cyclone blows in. Do you have cyclones down here? I don't think. No. If there's floods in Bihar, then how much can the Prime Minister help? He can come in and promise so much. We'll send in so many tons of rice and this and that, but he can't stop the flood. So one who is intelligent, in this verse it said, who is intelligent? Who is intelligent, they realize, I'm very small. Krishna is very great. Or God is very great. So that is a beginning. But feeling for God, that comes from understanding that he's a person, so maybe we can have a relationship, even though he's very great and I'm very small. Relationship doesn't necessarily depend upon the mutual status of people. It can be. We find in Mahabharata there's that story which is actually very important in the whole plot of the Mahabharata, of how Drona was school friend with who? Who can remember? Who's Mahabharata reader? Drishtatyamna, no. Drupad, yeah. So later they went to their respective places, and Drona was a Brahmana, so he was very poor. He wasn't interested in acquiring money. And Drupad was a Kshatriya, king, so he was very rich. He became head of a kingdom. So after some time, Drona, he needed some money because he wanted to get some wealth because he couldn't tolerate seeing his son. He didn't even have milk to drink. So he asked Drupad, said, he went to visit him and said, look, we're all buddies. So, I'm pretty poor and I'm a Brahmana and we're friends. So, Drupad, he said, friends, forget it. Friendship is between equals. And I'm rich and you're just a beggar, so I can throw you a couple of gold coins if you want, but friends, forget it. We're not friends. So that became an important point of the pivotal point. Anyway, Drupad was making the point that they generally become friends if they are not. People are equals, and that's usually in wealth. People who are, there's some division according to wealth. Generally wealthy people don't become friends with poor people. But with Krishna, everyone can be his friend because Krishna doesn't really care whether someone is rich or poor or intelligent or not intelligent, because to Krishna we're all pretty much the same. Just like we see the ants, they all look the same to us, don't they? But among the ants, they all know each other, and they're all different, and they can appreciate the difference between each other. But to us, they're just so small, we think they're insignificant. Now, to Krishna, we are all much smaller than him, but he's kind enough to accept everyone. Someone might be very wealthy, but to Krishna it is not much, because all the wealth comes from Krishna. He's the source of everything. And to Krishna, whatever wealth someone has, it's insignificant anyway, because Krishna has everything. So he doesn't care for however wealthy we are. Dhane jane pandite krishnere nahi pai. Keval bhaktivosh chaitanya goshaya. This is stated that if one has wealth, or one is popular, or one is very learned, we won't attract Krishna by that. But if we have devotion to him, only by devotion can Krishna be attracted. So this is Krishna consciousness, or a higher level of God consciousness. Higher, again, is not to say I'm higher, I'm better than you, but qualitatively we can see that one who is attracted to Krishna, not because he's very powerful out of fear. Or another reason we may become attracted to God is because if we think he's powerful and rich, then he can give me something. It may not be fear, it might be appreciation. He's given me so many nice things. In another song I learned in school, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all. So that might be some appreciation. The weather is nice, the flowers are nice, everything's nice. So God is nice, thank you for giving them to me. But then we may have a crisis of faith when things go wrong. And then we think, well, why are things going wrong? It must be God's fault. He's the supreme controller. Why do bad things happen to good people? This was a question. It's the name of a book which came out about 20 years ago by a rabbi in America whose name, interestingly, was Hare Krishna. Almost like Hare Krishna. So he, seeing all the misery in the world and seeing that bad things happen even to good people, he concluded that either God is all powerful, but he's got a mean sense of humor, or he's not a very nice guy, or God's not all powerful, but he's all good, but he's not really on top of everything. That was his conclusion. He said it has to be one of the two, but we can't say God's bad, so he must be all good, but maybe he kind of lost control of things a bit. So neither conclusion is very good. When people pray to God, protect me from bad things, may my life be good, cure my backache, help me pass my exams, let me get a visa for Australia. they don't pray nowadays for that. You can go and it's not so difficult to get like it used to be. Or they may pray, kill my enemies. There's a large part of the Vedas in which it's a Tarva Veda for killing enemies. That's pretty severe, isn't it? What can he do for me? What can God do for me? But real love begins not thinking what can he do for me, but simply loving him for what he is. Srila Prabhupada said that the closest thing to pure spiritual love in this world is the love of a mother for her child, because the child can't do anything for the mother. And in fact, there you go, the demonstration. In fact, the child often, or not often, but pretty much 24 hours a day, especially when they're very young, they're simply demanding or requiring the attention of the mother. But the mother, hopefully, loves the child, and even though the child does something which would normally be considered horrible, and passing, the child may pass stool all over the mother, but she doesn't mind at all. As long as the child's a baby. He's grown up if he does that, though, because it's something very strange. But There's nothing that she gets from the child, but of course there may be the potential that when the child grows up, I can get something back. That thought might be there. But basically the mother is unconditionally loving the child. So that's the nearest thing to spiritual love. Spiritual love is without any condition. Then why love Krishna? We should be able to love anyone, isn't it? Then any love can be considered spiritual. Generally we think that love is spiritual. However, there's a distinction between karma, there's this word karma, which means desire, and prema, which means pure love. Atmendriya Icha Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Dhare Premana. A distinction, this very important distinction is made between material desire, which is sometimes in this world called love, and pure love, which is for Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. He's also the center, he's the actual object of love for everyone. And karma means desire. So if one desires anything from anyone else, if we want something from someone, what can I get from them? Then that's not pure love. It's a kind of business exchange. I love you, I worship you, but you have to do something for me. I go to the church or the mosque or the temple and I pray to God, oh God, I love you very much and I need this and that and something else, so please supply it. And we find that some temples, they become very popular because of the reciprocation of the deity in the temple. Just like this Tirupati Balaji, who's been there, all the people from Andhra Pradesh, they must have been there, all of them from Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu, they've all been, who's been there? You must have been, oh, mostly South Indians, isn't it? Yeah. So they've all been to the temple of Guru Vrinda Srinivasan on Tirumala. So it's a very popular temple. Too popular, you could say, because it's such a rush that you just get physically pushed into darshan and out of darshan. There's no time. Nowadays they have a new arrangement. It's like you get the feeling of being a cattle, the cattle being driven for slaughter, the way you're pushed around there. So why are so many people going to that temple? Because, well, it's known that he reciprocates, especially for money. Many people have their business partner, Balaji. So we find all over Andhra Pradesh, Srinivas wine shop, and Satyagiri hatcheries, and they give a percentage of the profits to Balaji. He's a business partner. I think India is probably the only country, India, maybe Nepal, where you can make God a partner in your business. And he owns property too. Well, the church owns property in other countries, but in India the deity actually owns property, at least theoretically. So the idea is, I give to him, he gives to me. So that's not really pure love, that's faith in God. Oh, there's another one. In Chennai there's the Visa Ganesh, right? You know that one? There's a temple, Visa Ganesh. There's a deity of Ganesh who's famous for giving American visas. That's why they call him Visa, maybe Australian too. Mostly they want to go to America. I guess he can give you a visa for anywhere. Especially famous for that. So it must work, otherwise how do you get the name? There must be something going on there. But it's not exactly pure love, is it? So pure love means to love someone well, just like we find among lovers. They say, well, I don't want you to love me just for my money or just for my beauty, but I want you to love me for who I am. But no one loves Allah. No one loves anyone else for who they are. Not just for that. It might be partially that. But, or at least generally we can say that young men fall in love with young women and vice versa. We don't find young men falling in... Generally we don't find young men falling in love with 80-year-old women. Or vice versa. There's a physical attraction. But Krishna, those who are devotees of Krishna, those who are advanced, considered advanced devotees, that they know that love, real love, is not simply because of the beauty. Of course, Krishna is very beautiful. He's God, then why should he be ugly? He can be ugly also. The form of Nrsimha is very fierce, but that's also beautiful. It may seem very fierce, but that's also very beautiful. Devotees see him as beautiful. But the form of Krishna is very beautiful. Yang Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam. His form is blackish and spiritually beautiful, and it is composed of inconceivable qualities. So Krishna has so many qualities. He's a person. So how do you know what a person is? By their character. Everyone's not the same. Everyone has a different personality. Their personality can be analyzed by psychological methods or astrological methods. If you see an expert astrologer, they'll look at your chart, or sometimes not even by looking at your chart, just by... There are some people, you just see them and they can tell you everything about them. Have you ever met a person like that? I met someone like that once. Mantralayam. Who knows Mantralayam? On the border of Andhra and Karnataka. So I was there once, I was just going past someone's house and the door was open. And the person called me, I went inside, and then he just started telling me about me. I'd never seen him before. He was an astrologer and he had some mystic powers, it seems. So some people are like that. In Bombay there's someone who's famous. You go there and either he or his daughter, they'll just tell you everything about you, and then they'll tell you what your question, they'll give you the answer to your question, whatever it was, without you even asking. So there's people like that. So, everyone has different qualities and characteristics. You can see in the astrological chart that someone may be very hot-tempered. Someone may be very cool. Even if there is grounds for becoming upset, still they remain very calm. Someone is very greedy. Someone is very generous. They're all different kinds of qualities. So Krishna has all good qualities, and he has all bad qualities too, because everything comes from him. That's what he says here, right? I'm the source of everything. But in Krishna, even the bad qualities are good qualities. Just like Krishna is very greedy. He eats so much. Jagannath at Puri, how much he eats. After he eats, it's all distributed and thousands of people eat it every day. So in Puri alone, he eats enough for thousands of people every day. And they have to cook for him day and night. There are thousands of cooks cooking for him day and night, literally. And once a year he gets sick. That's all. Nakdwara. Who's been to Nakdwara? Now you're going to get caught because there's nothing there. Not so many. Nakdwara. So Nakdwara, Sri Nakji is famous for prasad. You'll find everywhere. On the streets, they're selling it. Even if you're sitting in your hotel, someone will come knock, knock, knock on the door with prasadam. So much prasad. Even the dogs are fat. And the only place in India I saw where the dogs are not skinny. There's so much prasadam. So he needs so much. And still every day he has to have in the morning. What does he eat in the morning, Krishna? Lots of things, but especially this makan misri that's offered in Nakdwara. And he eats so much. He has a big breakfast. Shukta shakali bhaji nalita kushmanda dali dalna dugda tumbi dadi mocha khanda. This, so many items are mentioned. That's his breakfast. We usually sing this song at lunchtime, but actually that's his breakfast, because it says that he's eating in the house of Nanda Maharaj. That's, he eats morning and evening, but in the daytime he's out in the field. So he has a tiffin at midday. But that's in the morning, but still he's eating so much, and he's still going out to other people's houses and stealing butter. How greedy can you get? And he's a thief. He's not only greedy, but he's a thief. But he's praised for that. Makan Chor, the stealer of butter. So what would normally be considered bad in others becomes very good in Krishna, because Krishna, he might appear to be very greedy, but actually that's reciprocating the love of his devotees, because they like to cook nice things for him, and he reciprocates. And all the gopis in Vrindavan, they're making butter for him. And they're thinking how nice it would be if Krishna would eat this. But he doesn't just eat it, he steals it. And then that gives them more pleasure. So Krishna, he has all qualities. Unlimited qualities. And this is what is most attractive about Krishna. Bhakti means to appreciate Krishna's naam, gun, roop, leela, his names, qualities, forms and activities, his pastimes. So his names, they're all spiritual. There are so many names of Krishna. And Krishna is the summary of all the names. Krishna means all attractive. Why is he all attractive? Well, because of his guna, rupa and leela. His names are based on his qualities, form and pastimes. So there are many names connected with Krishna's qualities. Who can think of any name of Krishna's based on his qualities? Anyone? Dinavatsa. Yes, Krishna is he's very kind to the fallen.
Kripa Sindhu,
yeah, again, kindness. Yes, the kindness of Krishna. He's an ocean of mercy. Kripa Sindhu. Madhusudan, that's connected with his activities. Killing the demon Madhu. There are many names connected with his activities. Some more? Dina Vallabha. Now we're going back to the Guna. Gopijana Vallabha. Yeah, he's the... Well, that Gopijana Vallabha, that takes in both qualities and activities, doesn't it? Because it's... That means he's the lover of the gopis.
Dayani.
Dayanidhi. Yeah. Yeah, we're still on the qualities. So activities, there are so many names. Madhusudana, Aghanisudana, Arisudana. That takes up. Arisudana means then you don't have to say any more names. You don't have to say Agasudana or Madhusudana. Then Gopal, he's the protector. Well, that's a quality and a pastime also. Protector of the cows. And his form, names connected with his form.
Shamasan.
That's a Tribhanga, threefold bending form. Lalita Madhava, that's not connected with the form. Ghanasham, black, thick black. So many names connected. Then we have so many names like Padmalochan, lotus eyed, Aravinda Netra, means the same thing, Aravinda Labha. So this is describing aspects of his form. But someone, a person might be very attractive physically in this world. Let's give, again give you an example from this world. There are people who are attractive physically. It means a very beautiful woman or a very handsome man, a very strong man. They're attractive physically. But they might not be a very nice person. Or someone may have very exciting activities. There are so many novels of people with exciting activities. Imagine. And there are real life exciting activities also. But the people who have these exciting activities, they may also not be very nice persons. Or people, they might be popular because of their songs, musicians, people, they compose songs. And they might sing about love and peace and justice and all these kind of things. But then if you actually happen to meet the person, you might find that they talk very high things, but actually they're not so nice anyway. So my proposal here at the end of all this long drawn out talking is that love here in this verse, bhava samandita, love that is ultimately based on the qualities of a person, not on his means his or her. I usually say his, as I didn't get in the habit of saying his or her. So the qualities of a person. Someone may be very great, they may be very powerful, they may be very great in some way or another. But there's no reason to love them. You know, no one actually loves someone just because they're great. One may fear or respect them, but love, no one loves someone else because they're great. Or someone may have very exciting activities, but still, you might be interested in them or respect them for their activities, but still, or they may be very beautiful, also have a very beautiful form, they're very attractive looking, but love ultimately is due to qualities. So Krishna has all attractive qualities. So here, you've all come here, I hope we've all come because we want to love Krishna, isn't it? We want to love Krishna, or some people? Well, it depends. Some people are coming because they are intelligent. And this verse says those who are intelligent, they understand Krishna is supreme and therefore they want to love him. Others may be coming because, well, they're just getting interested in this. All right, let's find out more about it. Some people might be coming because they think, well, I'm a Hindu and this is Hinduism and all right, I'll be a good Hindu. Maybe someone's coming because of that. Someone might be coming because you get pretty good food. That's a good attraction. The food is good. At the end, there's a good meal. So some people, actually many people come to the temples of Krishna all over the world for the food, because we only offer the best food to Krishna. He should get the best food. And then we distribute it to others. So people happen to know all over the world, especially among vegetarians, that the best food is at the Hare Krishna Center. So there may be different reasons for coming. But those who want to love Krishna, they will want to know of the qualities of Krishna. Otherwise, where is the meaning of love? So those qualities, of course, Krishna has unlimited qualities, but those qualities are described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, in brief. Otherwise, if we are to discuss the qualities of Krishna in full, that won't be possible because Krishna is unlimited. Anyway, I don't think there's time now, but there should be time. Maybe you could take that up in the next meeting. I just wanted to encourage you to read this book, The Nectar of Devotion. It's a very important book. And describes how to all the practices by which we can develop love for Krishna, and then so all the qualities of Krishna are described with a brief example of each. And when we're reading about Krishna or discussing about Krishna, of course now we're reading Bhagavad Gita, which is a very philosophical work that gives us the background about why intelligent people worship Krishna, but we also read about Krishna's pastimes in Krishna book. And when we're reading that or hearing about that, we can just try to appreciate what are the qualities of Krishna. The first lines I read about Krishna was that in Vrindavan, Krishna was the cynosure of all eyes. It's a very poetic way of stating that in Vrindavan, everyone loves Krishna. So why do they love Krishna? Because Krishna has so many wonderful qualities. And again, it's not just a matter of appreciation, but we may appreciate someone for their quality. Just like if someone is, for people who play basketball, then someone who's good at playing basketball, they'll appreciate that. So for someone who makes chapatis or who are cooks, they'll appreciate someone else as a good cook. They might be envious of them also. But Krishna, his qualities, they're all meant for reciprocating with his devotees. So Krishna, he steals butter from his devotees just so that his devotees, they'll have this mixed feeling of outward anger but inner great satisfaction that Krishna's stealing my butter. I wanted him to eat my butter anyway. So what are some of the qualities? At least we can say them. We can say some of them. And then we'll finish up because I've been speaking quite some time. What are some of the qualities of Krishna that are listed there in the Nectar of Devotion? Anyone? You're all good Bhagavad Gita scholars, it seems. But to go on a little further.
He's all attractive.
He's all attractive, yeah. That's the summation of all his qualities.
All powerful.
He's all powerful, yeah, all powerful.
Yeah.
But some of the personal qualities. He's grateful. How about that? He's grateful. That's very personal, isn't it? Someone, we're grateful to someone because they do something for us. But what can we do for him? Why should he be grateful to us? The quality of gratefulness is a greater quality in Krishna than it is in us. If someone has nothing and you give him something, then he's grateful. But Krishna's got nothing to get from us. But nevertheless, patram pushpam phalanto yam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti paharitam ashnami prayatatmana. Krishna says, if anyone offers me with devotion, even a simple leaf, flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Why should he accept it? He accepts it because he appreciates the devotion of the devotee. That's his gratefulness. Then in the names you are giving for the qualities, there was something named Dayanidhi, Kripa Sindhu. He's very merciful. That's a great quality, isn't it? If someone has power, he can oppress others or help them. So there's the saying that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But Krishna he has absolute power to a degree which no one can imagine. But he's not corrupt and he doesn't oppress anyone. But rather he's very kind to everyone. Some other qualities?
Bhavagrahi.
Yes, that's similar to gratefulness, isn't it? He accepts the attitude of the devotee rather than the exactly the offering.
Loving relationship.
Loving, yeah. But we're just trying to analyze, as Rupa Goswami has, some of the elements of that love. Yeah, bhavagrahi, that's an element of the loving relationship. He's an expert dresser. Krishna dresses very expertly. He's expert in music. He's an expert linguist. He can talk with the animals also.
He's expert dancer.
An expert dancer. Expert in humor. Yes, we'll find in the pastimes of Krishna, there's so much joking. A lot of joking. Pranks. Lots of pranks. So that's fun. A lot of fun. Anything else?
He's a magician.
He's a magician. Well, that's not listed in the qualities, but... yeah, there's magic in everything that Krishna does.
He's always useful.
He's always useful, yes. Krishna never grows old. Even though he's the oldest, he never grows old.
He's always smiling.
He's always smiling. Well, not always. He's always happy. But I didn't see that he's always smile. You can be happy and not smile also. You can smile and not be happy.
Good friend.
He's a good friend. Yeah, that's true. Alright, so what else shall we say? Jai Shri Krishna. All glories to Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Alright, so thank you for so patiently listening. And if anyone would like to further the discussion by putting a question, please do so now. Do we have a cordless mic? I don't think so, no? No. All right. So, if anyone has any question, please ask it loudly, so that everyone can hear. Or if you don't want to speak loudly, you can write it down and I'll speak in the mic.
About Lord Shiva Maharaj in the purport, Prabhupada cited some Upanishads, various Upanishads that is coming from Narayana Krishna. I mean, Gopal Upanishad and Narayana Upanishad, I mean, description is being given. But when we see in the light of Srimad Bhagavatam that Rudra, 11 Rudras, they are coming from Lord Brahma. So just request...
Where does Lord Brahma come from?
From Lord Krishna. So yeah. How do we understand, I mean, whole context in light of Srimad Bhagavatam and then...
Well, there's not a contradiction. Lord Brahma is the intermediary creator. So when it says that everything comes from Narayana, it means he's the ultimate source. It's also mentioned here the Adityas. They came from Narayana. But Aditya means the son of Aditi. So it's understood here that it means he's the ultimate source. The Aditya is there at the beginning of creation. So it's giving the names of all the oldest people in the creation and saying that ultimately they all came from Narayana. So that Lord Shiva, according to the Bhagavatam, was born from Lord Brahma. Doesn't mean that ultimately he doesn't come from Narayana. It's not a contradiction. Yeah. Anything else?
Same question, Maharaj.
The same question.
What is the, like, Shambhu, like in Brahma Samhita is
mentioned. Shambhu is mentioned
Shambhu
in Brahma.
So how the Shiva in this material one and Shambhu in the
Shiva Tattva. Shiva, yeah, he's asking the question about Shiva in the material world and Shambhu. Well, it's all quite complex. Jiva Goswami states that Shiva Tattva and Guru Tattva, they're both very difficult to understand. Because Lord Shiva, he's practically on the level of Lord Vishnu. He is Lord Vishnu, but just a little different. And the example you cited, Brahma Samhita, exactly the example is given. Just like yogurt is nothing but milk. It's only milk. But at the same time, it's different to milk. And yogurt comes from milk, but milk doesn't come from yogurt. So in the same way, Lord Shiva is practically Lord Narayana, Lord Vishnu. But there's a distinct difference also. And there are various manifestations of Lord Shiva. It's quite complex and it requires a research project, actually, because it's, like I say, it's quite complex, and I don't know anyone who's actually analyzed that in great detail. It should be done. Anything else?
Maharaj, it is said to acquire devotional service.
It is said. Can you give a more specific reference? Otherwise you could say anything.
Maharaj, how do we understand this qualities of humility, submissiveness, tolerance—they come from Krishna. And how do we increase them?
Qualities of what were they? Humility,
submissiveness,
service,
submissiveness. How do we increase them?
How do we increase them? You're saying how do we understand that they come from Krishna? Well, if we understand that everything comes from Krishna, then what is the difficulty to understand that any specific thing comes from Krishna? How to increase them? You want to increase your humility, is it? That means you're not humble, is it? Well, if you're not humble, that means you're proud. So what are you proud about?
My possessions.
your possessions, you're proud of your possessions. Is there any intelligent reason to be proud of your possessions? If we just analyze, there's no reason for us to be proud of anything. Humility should be our natural position, but we tend to be proud because we're in Maya, we're in illusion. We're thinking of ourselves as something that we're not. We're thinking these possessions, they belong to me, which they don't. I'm important because of this, but we're not important because of anything. There's no reason to be anything but humble, and to be anything but humble is simply foolishness. So we can consider like that. Humility also, it doesn't mean a show of groveling at others' feet, but it means to accept ourselves as servants of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, the perfect devotee of Krishna, was an aggressive preacher of Krishna consciousness. So how does that match with humility? Humility means seeing oneself as the servant of Krishna and serving Krishna as Krishna is required to be served. So understanding that one has service to Krishna, it doesn't mean that one is humble and therefore he lets everyone kick him in the head. But rather, because I have some service to do for Krishna, I have to behave in this world in such a way that that service may be affected. So it might be a little difficult to understand how a devotee can be apparently aggressive but at the same time humble, and is actually humble. Intrinsically, he doesn't think I'm very great. He thinks I'm the servant of everyone. We see that Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Sweden, he was lecturing about the four classes in human society. First class, second class, third class, fourth class. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The people listening, they weren't happy with this at all, because Sweden is the most socialistic society in the world, not just in lip service but practically. They try to make it very egalitarian. They're very much sworn to that, so they didn't like this at all. So one of the listeners, Srila Prabhupada, was just trying to explain the natural divisions within human society, but they didn't like to hear this. So then at the end someone challenged that, well, you must think that you are the first class man. And Srila Prabhupada spontaneously said, no, I'm the lowest class because I'm the servant of everyone. So even though he was on the podium and lecturing, but from this spontaneous response we can understand that he considered himself the servant of everyone. And he was taking the higher position because he had to convey the knowledge, which is the higher knowledge, to others. As the humble servant of the previous gurus and humble servant of the divine knowledge with which he was imbued, he was humbly distributing that to everyone. Anything else?
Raja, just continuing with that question, means how do we practically humble?
How do we practically humble? Means, that means we serve Krishna.
No, Prabhuji, Maharaja, it's like, suppose, what I understand by humble is, suppose somebody instructs you,
Someone instructs you, yeah, but we don't take instruction from everyone. We should take instruction from those who are actually capable to instruct us. It's not very intelligent to take instruction just from anyone and everyone. One has to exercise intelligence and discrimination also. Certainly we should take instruction. It's intelligent to take instruction, especially in spiritual life, because we require to be told where to go, how to go. But then we should take instruction from those who are qualified to guide. We can't take instruction from everyone, then we'll become confused. I mean, so many people give different instructions. So again, humility, that it's not just a blanket submission to everybody. It's not that we just have to do what anyone and everyone tells us to do. We can respect everyone, but that doesn't mean that we do just what anyone and everyone tells us to do. Always we have to use our intelligence. Even in taking instructions from our guru, we find that in the Bhagavatam, we find that Shukadeva Goswami deliberately said some wrong things to Parikshit Maharaj just to test if he was really listening and understanding, and if he was intelligently trying to understand what Shukadeva Goswami said. Parikshit Maharaj, when Shukadeva Goswami said that how can people be saved from hellish punishment, then Shukadeva Goswami said that they should perform prayaschitta, atonement. And Parikshit Maharaj said, that's not a good idea, because we see people, they do that and then they go on sinning, so what's the use? And then Shukadeva Goswami said, well, then they should cultivate knowledge. And Parikshit Maharaj, he also wasn't satisfied with that, because simply by getting knowledge, that in itself may not be enough to overcome our tendency to sin. And then Shukadev, having tested Parikshit, was he actually listening and understanding, but he deliberately gave him wrong knowledge just to test it. And then Shukadeva Goswami gave the proper conclusion, which is, anyone? We have people learning so many shlokas. Do you know this one? Anyone? No. What's the ultimate way to overcome sinful life?
You have to burn the sinful reaction by attending the
Kichit. Kedvaya bhaktya. Anyone can finish off the verse? Vasudeva parayana aghamdam dandi katsneya katsneya niharam iva bhaskara. You know it? Alright. Only by pure devotional service, by becoming fully attached to Krishna, can we become free from even the desire to commit sinful activities. And that example you were giving, the weeds, they should be not just cut, but they should be fully uprooted. But even then, if you throw the weeds, the roots down, they may again take root, so they have to be totally destroyed. But in this verse, it gives another example. The example of, just like when the sun rises, the fog is dissipated. I think there's no fog in Singapore. Maybe in some of you never saw fog in your life, is it? It's fog is like a low cloud. So in cold weather, you find this. You can't see your hand in front of you. It's like in the daytime, because it's so thick. The thick moisture. But then when the sun comes up strongly, then the fog will go away. In North India, in the winter, there's fog. In South India, no. Only in the Uti or somewhere like that. In the hill station. So, shall we finish there? You chant Hare Krishna some more? You all like to chant Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
All right, let's do that. Have a little dancing also. Dance for Krishna's pleasure. Actually, one of you sing. I just got to the bathroom and come back. Who's the famous kid in here? Would you like to sing? Yeah, please go ahead. Chant Hare Krishna.